This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, August 27th here at Gillette Stadium, a somber Gillette Stadium after a disappointing loss, 36-35. Ever-important third preseason game against the St. Louis Rams and Sam, the Sam-chise Bradford. Bill Belichick was not happy last night. He did not acknowledge pretty much any silver linings in the close, but not really so, loss to the upstart. I'm not going to call him lowly anymore. I'm going to call him the upstart Rams.
It's a weird roller coaster of a game.
It was a little bit. Patriots kind of took advantage of their second-teamers to get back in it in the second half after Bill Belichick challenged them, and Tom Brady went deep to, you know, Randy Moss. Nobody beats Kevin Payne.
12 seconds, they had a lead. Brady wasn't even on the field yet.
Feeling the pain.
Yeah, and that was pretty much the highlight of the first half. But we're here to talk about the roster, another roster report, and we're getting close to that time of year. The first official cutdown is on the horizon on Tuesday, August 31st, but there is always the chance that the Patriots or other NFL teams start making moves in advance of that cut down to 75 men.
And why would they want to do that?
Because they feel like it.
No, I'm trying to set you up.
There's a million reasons.
Yeah, mostly to.
I mean, give guys a chance to get a job.
There you go. That's what I was looking
for. Get rid
for.
Of guys who are crap and you don't want around your system anymore. Anything in between.
Guys who are, you know, we're going to go on IR. You might as well just put them on now.
Those are some of the moves you generally see early on in this process. And obviously the most likely candidate there for the Patriots would be offensive lineman Nick Kadjer, who's reportedly had back surgery and even Bill has admitted won't be ready anytime soon. And then after that, September 4th will be the final cutdown to the 53-man roster. But before we get into all that and speculation and discussion of last night's game and how those roster moves might unfold, we need to rewind just a little bit to early this week, August 23rd. Patriots made four moves, biggest of which, literally and figuratively, I guess, is 6'5", 295-pound veteran offensive lineman Quinn Ojanaka, who was acquired via trade for draft pick considerations from the Atlanta Falcons. Just days after meeting up with the Patriots, he joined the Patriots. Other moves that same day, Ross Ventrone was brought back after a short stint away from the team. Bubba 2.0 back in his blue number 41 and on the field last night. Terrence Johnson was waived. And Cade Weston, seventh-round draft pick defensive lineman, was waived and then cleared waivers, reverting to the injured reserve list. So now we maintain the possibility of keeping 24 draft picks over a two-year span because he is technically going to be with the team moving forward. Paul, you're the expert on Quinn Ojanaka, and we should mention he comes with a one-game suspension from the league for a simple battery charge.
Personal conduct policy violation.
Personal conduct policy violation. He will not technically count against the roster for the first week of the season, but he is an experienced backup offensive lineman, kind of in the mold of Eric Gajcek as they continue to kind of supplement the depth on the offensive line. Talk about your new favorite player.
Well, where he separates himself a little bit, I think, from most of these backup linemen is the ability to play guard and tackle, which I think is a rare commodity.
Did I even see an allusion to he once played center?
He could play them all, and that's his calling card, and he feels like
sky's the limit.
He studies the playbook at all five spots always, so he's ready to go regardless of where he's needed. But the ability specifically to play guard and tackle, I think, is a little bit rare. George Bussey has tried to do that a little bit in this camp, and it looked like at early in camp he was making a push to do that, and I think he got hurt, and we haven't seen him as much lately. We did see Ojanaka a little bit at tackle last night against St. Louis, so something to keep an eye on. And Andy's right, he will not count on the roster if they keep him for the opener, but I would imagine with the resume of his versatility, I would imagine he would be part of the 53 going forward.
So it's one of those incestuous moves a little bit in that he played for Thomas Dimitroff, a nice trade partner down there. He actually has 39 NFL games, 12 starts, 9 last year, 5 starts, and also played for Matt Patricia at Syracuse.
I was going to add that in. There's one
He's
other
Syracuse
incestuous
Orange
nature.
Man in 2006. He was drafted in the fifth round out of Syracuse by Atlanta. So, you know, we like to keep track of all those pipelines, and we never can keep track of all of them, obviously, but it pays off in the end sometimes because friendly trading partners, close associates, and knowledge of guys often leads to something down the line. Eric, you wanted to mention about Okajima?
I forgot what I was going to say now.
Okay, then we will move on to last night's game. First thing I want to do is go over the list of players. I'd just like to point out for the record, during these Roster Report podcasts over the last few months, both Paul and Eric have said either I forgot or I have nothing to add. last night's list of DNPs against the Rams.
DNPs was there?
DNPs.
Oh. Coach's decision. I thought he was in Baltimore.
Keep in mind that a lot of the starters for New England played well into the second half. The Rams pulled most of their starters at halftime, but even as late as the fourth quarter, we looked out on the field and saw Lee Bodden, James Sanders, Jonathan Wilhite, Brandon Spikes was out there late. So there are a lot of different interesting personnel groupings, but not as many people playing. So the list includes Zach Robinson, Darnell Jenkins, Julian Edelman, who missed practice this week, Buddy Farnham, Rod Owens, Matthew Slater, Brett Lockett, Kyle Arrington, Lawrence Maroney, Eric Alexander, Brian Simmons, George Bussey, Nick Kazier, Aaron Hernandez, who missed practice this week while wearing a little wrap thing on his knee, and Jermaine Cunningham, who's missed practice recent weeks. But Lawrence Maroney is obviously the most notable name on that list, healthy on the sideline, in pads, and Bill Belichick said, we didn't have the ball. They ran the ball 11 times total in the game, did not have a ton of plays, had a four-series stretch in the first and second quarters where they only ran a total of 13 plays. Given all that background knowledge, Lawrence Maroney, two straight weeks, hasn't touched the ball. I'll go to Eric first so he doesn't forget. What make you of Lawrence Maroney's lack of participation?
I was mildly surprised. Not totally surprised, but mildly surprised that he wasn't out there, given that it was the third preseason game, given that he hadn't, as you said, played much in the first two games. I thought this was his time in the rotation to get his chances. And I also thought
this week that he talked and everything was great.
He talked,
he was
going to
be better.
It was St. Louis, his hometown team, all that. I also thought it strange that Bill said they didn't have the ball, you know, as much in the second half or in the game, which at the end of the game, when they had the lead still, about 4 minutes to go in their own territory, they decided to drop back and let Brian Hoyer try to throw the ball and seal the win. At that point, I would think that's the perfect time to give the ball to a running back.
I'll pose the question.
Namely, a guy like Maroney who had been fresh.
Do you want to give Maroney carries behind your second/third string offensive line against a second/third string defense? Is there benefit of that? Is there the potential for, and I know Belichick probably doesn't care a lot about this, but negative publicity if he doesn't do much? Or, you know, I just wonder if that's the time for a guy who clearly is going to make this team as a contributor, not a reserve scrub bottom of the roster guy. He's a first round pick. If he's going to be on the roster, he still needs to do something, otherwise he won't be. So I just wonder if that's not the appropriate time for a guy like Lawrence Maroney to play.
Well, as Lawrence said himself earlier this week, running with the twos is just as good as running with the ones because they're basically the same thing. That's what he said. But
thanks, Lawrence.
He said, yeah, I'd rather run with the ones, but running with the twos is fine because they're just as good. Well,
no,
okay.
They're the twos.
I was very surprised that he didn't play. I thought he was going to start. I thought we saw a lot of similarities during the week of practice that we did the week before with Fred Taylor. I thought Fred Taylor got all the carries with the ones heading into Atlanta, and he was the guy to start the game. I thought Maroney was getting most of those carries with the ones in practice Monday and Tuesday in the field house, and I thought he would start. We found out before the game he wasn't going to, based on some reports from 98.5, the Sports Hub, the Patriots flagship station, and I was really surprised by that. I wasn't overly surprised. I am surprised they didn't run the ball at the end of the game. I wasn't surprised that Maroney wasn't the guy they called on. I figured they'd give the ball to Benny and see if he could grind out the clock, and or even Thomas Clayton or Chris Taylor, you know, one of unproven guys, unknown guys. I don't know what to make of Maroney. Maybe they really don't have plans for him in 2010. I can't imagine that to be the case, given the fragile nature of Sammy Morris and Fred Taylor. I think they're talented guys.
Unless they have that
Fred
much
Taylor,
confidence in Ben Jarvis.
Fred Taylor is a light years more talented guy than any of them.
He's, I mean, by
he's
far the best,
by far and away
the
most talented guy. But at this stage, I don't think you can rely on him to be your lead guy. I'm expecting him right now to open the season against Cincinnati as the lead guy.
Yeah.
How long he was able to hold up, who knows.
So are we expecting Lawrence Maroney to open the season against Cincinnati on the New England Patriots 53-man roster?
I still am, but all signs would seem to dispute that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's clear anymore.
If he's cut, it's stunning, mildly surprising.
For me, stunning.
I agree.
I'd say stunning, too, because I, at the beginning of camp, expected him to be part of the mix.
I just can't envision going into the season without him on your roster. As much as we like to rip him, criticize his running style, his toughness, his maturity, his fumbles.
And we've on this show, on PFW in Progress, we've been as critical of him as any player on the roster.
He played 16 games last year and scored 9 touchdowns. He was out there. He may have frustrated you, but you don't know what Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is, and what you do know is not great. It's a guy who averages less than 4 yards a carry.
I don't see
it. He tries hard. He's a nice story. Good kid.
I like the guy.
Got some special teams value.
He's got some ability, but I don't see lead back.
Morris and Taylor are virtual locks to miss 4 games. And if those 4 games happen to overlap, you have Falk and who? I think it would be such a dangerous
Falk
danger.
Who?
And who.
Oh.
Such a dangerous game to play, but Bill Belichick has surprised us many times before. Some of us thought it was a dangerous game to play to trade Richard Seymour at the end of training camp last year. So,
and it was pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
But he's going to be willing to make moves.
He's not afraid to make moves. There's no question about it. And
I would not deem it out of the realm of possibility to see the name Lawrence Maroney included in any transactions over the next week plus.
And we continue to see a lot of combinations of players on defense, and some of those guys are veterans. And you mentioned some of the younger guys that were playing almost wire to wire. Well, we saw guys like Damian Lewis out there later in the game. I wouldn't be surprised to see some moves made with some of these veterans on defense as well.
No question.
I thought it was also good, just real quick, you mentioned the veterans like Damian Lewis.
I asked him a question. He's got nothing to add. Now he just wants to bring up his own crap.
Just wanted to say, second game in a row, Ron Brace had a couple of nice plays out there.
Unfortunately, got a little nicked up with an ankle injury, and apparently, according to ESPN Boston, getting an MRI on said ankle, which could play into Damian Lewis or any of the other, Brandon Dedrick, or any of the reserve defensive line jobs.
The brother love.
And more importantly, we're going to end strong here. Bill might not have been happy last night, but Andy Hart was, as the head of the Rob Gronkowski G-Force fan club. Ran through a James Laurinaitis tackle for a Michael Vick-like dive to the goal line that Bill Belichick had the challenge to get right, but scored there, and then everyone involved, Tom Brady and actually James Laurinaitis, brought up the second touchdown in which he went up for the ball in a little bit of traffic at the goal line, crossing the field, showing what a 6'6" athletic tight end.
Looked like he was going up for a rebound.
Tremendous.
Came down with the ball.
New England fans, you now have the traditional, sure-handed security blanket tight end that you've been lusting after.
Since Ben Coates.
And as the PFW cover that'll come out this week will say, Tom Brady's new friend.
Gronk?
Best friend, Fred Kirsch posing the question, is he Tom Brady's new best friend? I say yes.
Oh, we didn't go with G-Force?
We did not go with G-Force. But right here we're going with it, because G-Force is going to be a key part of this offense in Week 1, in Week 17, and in each week in between. Except for the bye, when no one will be important to the offense. For Paul Perillo, Eric Scalabino,
thank you, Captain Obvious,
Andy Hart here for another Patriots.com roster report. Things are getting really interesting in this area. Tuesday, first round of cuts. September 4th, second round of cuts. We'll have all the info on the PFW blog, Patriots.com, Patriots Today.
And between now and then, another preseason game.
He's always got to interrupt. Peace out.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.